because I'm going to be bringing a bad time probably for you. Because I'm going to be preaching a message this morning that that I don't usually preach like this on Sunday morning or Sunday night or any other time except when the Lord gives it to me. This is just once in a whileers. And the reason they're once in a whileers is because sometimes God gives you a message for the church at a certain time. And I believe the Lord has given me a message for our church at this particular time that we're in right now. So if you're visiting here this morning, I hope you enjoy it. I hope you get a blessing out of it. And I just hope the Lord will use it to speak to your heart also. But here in the Word of God, if you know the story here, the children of Israel had just marched around the walls of Jericho, and the walls of Jericho fell down flat. What a miracle. Everybody, glory to God, woo, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Boy, they was having the awfulest time ever was and shouting around the camp. And lo and behold, the Lord told them, he said, when you go into Jericho, don't you touch nothing that belongs to Jericho. Don't you touch that silver. Don't you touch that gold. It's not yours. You leave it alone. And then one of them did. And next thing you know, they went up against a little bitty town called Ai. And they fled before these men of Ai. And a man had to be killed before they could fight their battles and win their wars like they ought to again. In other words, God was with them. They whipped this city, whipped this city, whipped this city, whipped this city, until they got sin in the camp. And when sin got in the camp, God said, I ain't going to fight for you no more till you get the sin out. Now, I will say to our church this morning, the Lord's fought many a battle for us. He's brought us from the word go, from March, the first Sunday of March of 1977, up until the time that you and I are sitting in right now. We're up against battles that we're fighting right now as far as our building. And we're up against a wall right now that we've never been up against before. And if we've got sin in our life, in our church, we can't expect God to fight our battles for us. Everybody's always talking about the Lord will fight our battles. He will, but you've got to be right with Him. Joshua 7 verse 1, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Now, verse 4, so there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down, whereof the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwell on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? And the Lord said in verse 10, the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have taken of the accursed thing, and also stolen and dissembled. That's hypocrite. Also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Verse 12. We need to have it just as quiet as possible in here while I read the scripture. Verse 12. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except you destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. Verse 18, And he brought his household, man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him. And tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord. Help me, Mama. God of Israel. He said, I've sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. Verse number 25. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stone. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, wherefore the Lord, name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. Let's bow our heads while we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this privilege and opportunity that we have to come to you in prayer. We thank you, God, for this day. Thank you for our health and our strength and all the many, 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 many blessings of life, God, that you've given us. We thank you this morning, Lord, that you've been with us in fighting our battles. Oh, God, we realize and know that you're no respecter of person. And God, you want us to get the sin out of our lives and out of our church. Dear God, I pray that the Holy Ghost will take this sharp two-edged sword and cut and operate on us this morning and cut the sin out of our lives. God, that we may be the church you'd have us to be. Bless these that have visited with us. Feed their soul. Send them away a better group of people. Send them out to do a work for you, we ask. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I said, the children of Israel fought a battle and won it. They fought another battle and won it. They fought another battle and won it. They fought another battle and won it. And all of a sudden they run up against this little town that they ought to have been able to whip easy, and they got beat. And God said, it's because you got sin in the camp. It's not the enemy. They're not that strong. It's not these people out there. I can take care of them anytime I want to. He said, but you've got to get the sin out of the camp. I don't know if you folks realize it or not, and if the only time you ever come to church is on Sunday morning, you probably don't. I don't know if you realize it, but the Lord's been good to us, and He's been good with us all the way since we started this work. I was thinking yesterday, I wrote down some things. I just let my mind roll back over the past, just the past year. The Lord's been good to me. I was right here in this church every Sunday in 1984. Today is the last Sunday of this year. I was not gone anywhere on Sunday morning. I was not had no vacation. I not went anywhere. I was right here every Sunday in 1984. I'm thankful that God has allowed me to be here every Sunday in 84. Two of those I did not preach when Brother Billy Kelly preached that Sunday morning, and also when the other fellow, Brother Malone, preached that time, I believe. Well, I was here every Sunday morning. I wonder how many here has been here every Sunday morning, Sunday school preaching this entire year. Raise your hand. You've been here every year. All right, there's a bunch that's been here every year, every Sunday in 1984. That's a blessing. Now, I think about what God's done for us just in the past year. It thrills my soul when I think about how that God brought us Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. The Lord's allowed me personally to stand in the pulpit and preach over 250 times this year alone. I was counting street preaching, I guess a little more than that, I don't know. But about 250 times, an average of almost five times a week, the Lord has let me preach this year. I thank Him for that. I praise Him for that. He's been good to me. I only had to miss one opportunity to preach this year, and that's the only time I've ever had to miss an opportunity to preach since I've been preaching, 12 years.
I've only had to miss one place where I was supposed to preach, and that was when I had a little unexpected visit to the hospital in April, I believe it was, and had to miss revival down at New Hope. But that's God's been good to me. I've never had to miss but that one place to preach ever since I've started. The Lord has certainly took care of me, and I praise Him for it this morning. The Lord's allowed us to win souls. But this past year, we've seen a lot of people saved. Do you realize? A lot of people don't realize this because it happens gradually. But did you realize that this time last year, that we had never had over 300 in Sunday school except one time. This time last year, we had only had 300 just one time. And boy, that just tickled us to death. I mean, we just shouted about that and praised the Lord. We had never had it but one time. One year later, since the 1st of November, we have averaged over 360 in Sunday school. God's been good to us. And God's been blessing us. The Lord's been good. I'm not talking about preaching. I'm talking about Sunday school. This morning was the lowest number we've had in Sunday school since a long time. And God has been good to us. We averaged about 240 this time last year and grown 120 in the past year. Praise God for that. We thank God for it. I praise God for what He's done for us. The Lord has fought our battle. As of right now, you are now sitting in the largest congregation in McDowell County. Right now. You ought to be thankful for that. I'm not glutton over that. I hope God blesses all the other churches and they grow and get real big too. I really do. I prayed for them this morning. You may not think I did, but I did. Or last night, and I prayed for the other preachers in this county. But we ought to be thankful for what God has done for us. You ought to be thankful. This is the largest group of people assembled to worship in McDowell County every Sunday morning. And we ought to thank God for being good to us. We ought to be more thankful. We ought to be especially grateful for what God's done for us. I have people call me on the telephone and say, "Brother Danny, I'd love to come to your church, but I feel like I need to be at my church." And I just say, "Stay with it till God moves you. Stay right there." They said, "Oh, I'd give anything to come to a church like that." Listen, you ought to be thankful for what God's done for us. I tell you, it's nothing. It's not me. It's nobody here. It's just that God's been good to us. That's what it is. The Lord's been good to us. You can't just go out and start a church and see it grow. It just don't work that way. I've seen it tried many, many times. It just don't happen unless God breathes into that thing and puts life in it. My soul, if anybody in McDowell County ought to be a dedicated bunch of people, it ought to be the people that come here to this church. We ought to walk right and talk right and be proud of what God has done for us. I was looking back and I thought about our Bible conference. My, that's the sweet memories I have of 1984. I remember the highlight of the Bible conference last year to me was Brother Ken Trivett's message when he preached that Sunday morning or that night on the partnership of the Holy Spirit. And you wouldn't believe it. If you wasn't here, somebody said, "I'll get the tape." Man, you couldn't get it on tape unless you had video. I mean, you didn't just hear it. You've seen a lot. I mean, it was just like Ringlam, Barnum, Bailey up here, brother. One thing, I looked around, and he's standing on top of this table right here. And next thing I know, I was over here. I don't know how I was sitting down there. And I wound up here, and it was just like four lanes of traffic up here. People running back and forth and shouting and thanking God for what He had done. I look back over that, man, the devil can't never take those memories away from us. What God's done for us in the past, glory to God. I thought about all the good things of 1984. I thought about the special citizens that day when we saw our special citizens get up here that morning. And Brother Halbert, there wasn't a dry eye in the house hardly. Was that this year or last fall? I can't remember. I think sometime this year. I ain't sure. But anyway, it was a blessing. I thought about my trip to Canada, brother, when we got like just snowed in, snow about that deep and couldn't walk, and the airport closed in Buffalo, and we didn't know if we was going to get home, and my Linda thought somebody was trying to break in and kill us and everything, you know, and that night we didn't have no way to protect ourselves, and I thought, we heard somebody beating on the side of the trailer, and there's about that much snow out. That was the deepest snow I ever seen in my life. My little girl couldn't even walk in it hardly. It come way up here. And so I went and got the butcher knife, you know, and laid down there to protect my family. I wasn't going to let somebody come in and kill us all. So I laid the butcher knife down there and said, "Oh, you can go on and go to sleep." And I'll stay up and watch a little while. And boy, you know, I think about that now. And I tell you, brother, money couldn't buy all the blessings that God's given us. I thought about that time coming home, you know, and liked having car wrecks and everything else, and how God has brought us through. I thought about when we went to pastor school up there. And, brother, I thought about the revival right before that with Billy Kelly and how Brother Kelly preached. And that was the morning we had 487 and 517 for preaching that morning. And my, I tell you, brother, you couldn't give me $1,000 bill and make me any happier as to what God had done for us. And I remember that night, Debbie got saved that night. Wasn't it not you got saved, Debbie? I remember her getting saved. We prayed for a long time, and God saved her. I remember when she got saved. I remember other people in here getting saved. Just this past year, the Lord's been good to us. I, on the way to pastor school, I drove about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. Jack took over, and the van blowed up about 45 minutes later. Sure did. Blowed the motor in it. I was back there asleep, and I was so sleepy. I was the only one of that sorry bunch that had preached that night. The rest of them hadn't done anything. Lay around all evening, run around. And I had to drive to about 3:30 in the morning. They lay back there sound asleep. And I got to thinking, well, that low-down bunch making me do all the driving. I said, somebody's going to have to drive. And boy, Jack got up there and drove, and about an hour later, the van, it went, ba-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I said, "Something matter with it, brother?" And I said, "Oh, put some oil in it." He said, "It's tore up." And I said, "Oh, it'll be all right. Start it up." He said, "Its motor's blown." I said, "Where are we?" "I don't know." They didn't know where we was at. It's almost 5 o'clock in the morning, cold as, man, it's cold as ice. You know, when you've been asleep and you have to get outside, it's a lot colder than if you've been awake and have to go outside. I had to get out on the interstate and hitchhike. Didn't even know which way we was going. Didn't know where we was at. We knew it was in Kentucky, that's all. And to hitchhike, I said, "Well, this way might be the best one." Got over there and hitchhiked and got a ride and freezing to death and got a ride and had to hitchhike back and forth to a motel and whole world. We had the office time ever was. We left here at about 10:30 Sunday night and got to Hammond, Indiana at about 3 o'clock Tuesday morning. And brother, don't you know we was ready to get a blessing out of them services? I for the first 2 days, I couldn't even hold my head up. Anyway, we had a wonderful time. The Lord blessed, and then we had the liquor boat, and that's a bad memory, but thank God we done what we could. Ain't you glad we did? I mean, is there anybody in the church that regrets us doing what we could? I mean, brother, we lost that thing by 30 votes. 30 people will go down in history on God's record as being the cause of liquor being sold in McDowell County down here at Aunt Bessie's Cow Store and beer being stored here, up here and over there. Liquor and beer and wine being sold on our streets for young boys and girls to see that the town has put their approval on it. I want to say this morning, friend. God ain't through with that bunch yet, neither. You say, "Brother Danny, it didn't do any good. We didn't win." I tell you, I don't regret a thing we did. And if I had it do over, I'd probably do more. I don't regret putting a sermon in the paper. I don't regret putting the tracts out and the sign, all that stuff. I don't even regret the wrecked car. Boy, that was a hot potato for a while. I come home from Michigan and it was right on the front page of McDowell News. Church is breaking ordinances and playing with the law. Reverend Castle couldn't be contacted. Oh, man, I hit the ceiling when I come home and found that out. I went straight to the McDowell News and wanted to know what was going on. They found out this and that. I said, "We ain't breaking no ordinances." They didn't even tell us there was no such an ordinance. And anyway, time went on now, and we come through that, and the Lord blessed, and then we got into it with the Mormons. And then we had that ordeal to go through. I got my name in the paper again. And they were saying we should keep our nose out of other people's religion. But I thank God we did that and had it do over, I'd do it again. I'm glad the truth. Listen, brother, listen. I'm saying God's been good to us. And then I remember just here a while back, November the 18th, Bill and Wendy got saved. And then others. How many else in here got saved during 1984? Raise your hand. All right, there's that one. Lori and Ken and Mr. and Miss Monk and Brother Ramsey and all of them, thank God, got saved during this past year. Do you know that there's churches all over the country that could not report one person being saved in a year's time? Thank God for what He's done for us. The Lord has fought our battles for us. But did you know? Listen, I don't know if you realize it, church, but right now, we are facing one of our greatest battles that we've ever faced. Right now, we're unable to build our building that we want to build right now because of city ordinance unless something gives somewhere. We've got a battle, and we need God's help in fighting it. And you know, I prayed about this, and I thought about it all week long. And me and these boys met up here the other night and prayed. And me and Brother Glenn went around and talked to neighbors about getting some more property in. It just seemed like every door is shut. And it just seemed like we're not able to do what God has given us to do. And I thought about it. And I thought, what would be the best way to handle this situation? I thought, well, God, should we go out there and march around their house? Should we march around City Hall? God, should we protest and take 500 people up there and do this and that and threaten them and everything else? And the Lord, you know what the Lord done? The Lord said to me, it seemed like in my spirit the other night, it seemed like God said to me, He said, well, we'll start where I always start. He said, we'll take care of what we always got to take care of first. He said, the first thing you got to do is get the sin out of your own life and out of your own. And if you'll do, I'll take care of that other crowd. And I believe I'm right on the money this morning. I believe I'm right on target. I believe I'm saying just what God gave me to say. I tried my best to get out of preaching this message. See, y'all like that last part, but you ain't going to like this next part coming up. I mean, you might get a cough and have to go out right now in just a minute. So just buckle your seat belts. We're going to hit a little turbulence here in the next 15 minutes. Do you know what God wanted us to do? God said, destroy the accursed thing from among you. Neither will I be with you anymore unless you destroy the accursed. Listen, there ain't a battle that we could ever come up against God couldn't take care of just like that. There ain't one obstacle the Lord couldn't just melt with the word of His mouth. But there's one obligation me and you've got, and that's to make sure that our lives are right with God. Amen. And I believe there's some people sitting in this room that go to this church every Sunday morning that are just as backslid as anybody you'll ever want to see. And we need to get right with God and get the sin out of our lives. Breaks my heart to see how some of you people used to be on fire for God and now you're deader than 4 o'clock and don't even show up half the time. Well, where's all my amen-ers? I'm going to need you more here in a minute, boys. One thing we ought to do this morning, and I ain't going to have much of an outline, just going to give you these things the Lord given to me back there in my study. We got to make sure that our motive is right. Amen. Brother, you cannot, let me tell you something, church, you cannot fool God Almighty. Your motive has got to be. God knows why you want to do what you want. You say, oh, glory to God, we're going to build a big church down there, and hallelujah. Why? Why do you want a big church? You say, so well, hey man, you won't even come to the one you got, some of you. What do you want nothing for? If absence makes the heart grow fonder, some people sure must love their church. I want to tell you something this morning. Why do we want God to give us a new building? Why do we want a bigger place? You say, well, why? Really now, really, why? Your motive, you search your heart. You search way down in your heart, is it so you can say, well, praise God, we'll show them other churches that we got the power of God and they ain't. That is the wrong motive. That's a sin. That's abomination. Have that attitude in your heart. If any of you in here have that attitude, you're saying, bless God, we'll show them that jealous, that haughty, that cocky attitude, or that holier-than-thou attitude. I want to tell you something this morning. If we got what we deserve, God, the Lord let a bomb fall on this whole place and kill every one of us. We're nothing but a bunch of old liars and thieves and thugs and drunks and whores and drug addicts that's sitting right here in this room that God saved and washed pure in the blood of the Lamb. We ought to be thankful for what God's done for us. Amen. Your motive's got to be right. Let me say, I picked out all the sins. I'm going to pick out all the sins I can think of. That I can think of. That I think might be in this church. I know we'd be here all day if I preached on all of them. But I just want to pick out some that come to my mind. Now, I see some of you smacking bubblegum. You swallow it. We don't want no bubble gum in here. Glue your insides together, maybe keep you still. Last year, at the beginning of the year, we outlawed bubble gum. You say, oh, what's wrong? I didn't say nothing's wrong with it. I just said we don't want none of it in here. It always winds up in a mess. When somebody, we had a little girl get her hair cut off down there one Sunday morning. And another kid got his other kid chewing gum in another kid's hair and took some scissors, thought he'd be real nice and whacked her hair off. Her daddy didn't appreciate that too good. I don't blame him. But anyway, I got to think about something. I got to thinking, we cannot tell our kids not to throw chewing gum wrappers down on the floor and not to throw bubble gum wrappers out on the cement and not to smack bubble gum and throw it down on the ground where people track in, gets in the carpet, as long as you folks stand out there and smoke cigarettes. I can't hear you. Oh, I don't want to tell you something. You can't do it. We can't go out there and jump on our kids and say, hey, don't you throw it! When they look up here and here's Daddy going, spitting on the ground and throwing his cigarettes down on the yard of the house of God. And so I think we ought to just vote one for all and all for one to outlaw cigarettes off the church property. All in favor say aye, all opposed come to altar. Okay, we voted that in. Now, that's finished. Cigarettes are now outlawed on the church property. Amen? Amen. You say, I ain't coming back. You promise? Can we get that in writing? Okay, I was just kidding with you. You'll be all right. I want to tell you something. We cannot fuss at our young'uns. We cannot bless them out and say, don't throw it. If they get, and I'll tell you something else. It's not good for visitors to have to walk through a cloud when they come to church, neither. I've been to churches, man, where the deacons are out there sending up their Sunday morning burnt offerings, and you have to go like this to get through. Now, if you smoke, you don't realize it. But if a man don't smoke, it'll about kill him. Now, let me talk to you this minute because I'm your friend. I don't know that some of the looks on your faces has done and changed. And by the time I get through this morning, we may not even need a building program. But I just think, brother, that the house of God ought to be kept holy and pure. And I just never did like to go to a church where it looked like you're sending up burnt sacrifices on the front of the building. And I believe the high time has come for it to stop. You say, well, Brother Danny, I've got to have one. Well, listen, if you can't make it for 2 hours, if you cannot make it for 2 hours without a cigarette, you're hooked. You're a drug addict. Nicotine is a drug. It don't do you like marijuana, and it don't do you like alcohol, but if you can't make it for you're a drug addict, and you need help. You need help. You need God to help you. You do. Bothered me for a long time. There's 19 poisons in every cigarette you put in your mouth. 19 different poisons. If you don't smoke, your chances of getting lung cancer is 1 out of 7,000. If you're a heavy smoker, when you get older, your chances of getting lung cancer is 1 out of 371. Now, you young people this morning ought to quit this morning. You ought to come up here and ask God to forgive you and quit smoking today. And I'm not saying this just because I'm a preacher. If we had a medical doctor in this pulpit this morning, he'd tell you the very same thing I'm telling you. It'll kill you. It'll kill you. Slow suicide. That's why they call them coffin nails. Put nails in your coffin. Now some of you say, well, I smoked for 30 years. I can't quit. Well, what about you young people? Y'all could quit today. Save you a lot of money. Save you a lot of trouble. Save you from getting cancer, laying in a hospital. They say that you take minutes. Every cigarette you smoke takes so many minutes off your life. Oh, I don't care. One of these days you'll wish you had them minutes and you won't have them. Now, I'm not saying this trying to be ugly. I'm not trying to be a smart. And if you get mad at me, the Lord will beat your britches off. Because I'm telling you the truth, because I love you and I care about you. And I'm telling you, listen, brother, this ain't popular what I'm preaching this morning. I ain't going to win no popularity contest. I'm telling you this because I love you and I care about you and I think something needs to be corrected. And brother, if we'll correct it, God will bless us. Destroy the accursed thing from among you. You wouldn't come up here. Ain't nobody in here that'd come up here and put ashes on the pulpit. Spit the back of juice on the altar. You say, I would never do that. That's the house of God. Your body is the temple of God. It is. Another thing it does, it makes a church look like a honky-tonk instead of the house of God. You drive down by the beer joints in Morganton. Drive down by the hell hole, the discos, the places, where you always see a gang out front smoking. That don't look like a church. Amen? Heard about this evangelist. He's on an airplane one time, and this woman up front, she just... And if you don't smoke, it'll about kill you. If you do, it don't bother you. You've got used to it. You just make your kids have to suffer. And boy, he's going... And he took all that he could stand, and he turned around and took his chewing gum out of his mouth, and he said, "Ma'am, would you like to chew my gum?" And boy, she got mad. She said, "What do you mean, chew your gum? That's nasty. That's secondhand." He said, "Well, I've been sitting here breathing your old secondhand smoke the whole trip. I thought you might want to chew my bubble gum a little while." He ain't going to do it. It's slow suicide. Now, I want to tell you this morning, brother. Listen, you say, well, I can't stand it. Well, sit in your car. Just kill yourself. Don't kill everybody else, okay? It's the number two killer in the United States is cancer. Listen, there was a time. There was a time in this country when being a church member meant something. Brother, if you said I'm a member of church, you said, brother, I got to straighten up my act. I got to walk straight. People's are looking at me. There was a time. There was a time. And it hurts me when I see how far we drifted. And then I'm thinking, brother, there was a time when being a church member meant something. It meant you walked right. It meant you lived a good life. You didn't just live like a devil and belong to a church back in the old days. Brother, you lived right. I got as much right to spit in your drinking water as you have to blow smoke in the air I have to breathe. Next time I see you drinking coffee, I can spit in it. Amen. I heard about this man, he's trying to quit smoking. And I'm not trying to be hateful this morning, folks. I feel for you. If you're hooked, I feel for you. Because I know we've had some people in this church that have tried over and over and over to quit smoking, and they just ain't been able to do it. And I feel for you. I really do. And I'm not trying to jump down your throat. I'm trying to help you. I'm thinking maybe if I hit it hard enough, and maybe if I hit it strong enough, maybe God through the Holy Ghost will deliver you from them, and I can save you a lot of money. I'm your friend. I don't see what you're getting mad at me for. I'm going to tell you something this morning. I'm your friend. That's why I'm telling you this. What about this guy, and he's trying to quit? And he's sitting there on this train. And this woman, he didn't have nothing in his mouth, nothing. This woman saw him throw something down and go like that. Then a few minutes, he looked at his watch,
throwed something else down, went like that. Then a few minutes later, he throwed something else down, went like that. And she said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, you see, ma'am, I'm trying to quit smoking." And he said, I'm acting like I'm putting them out." He said, "Every 10 minutes, I just throw an imaginary cigarette down and stomp it out. And that way, I just tell myself that I've just got through smoking." And he said, "It's doing pretty good. I stomped out 30 when I first started. Now I'm down to 28 a day." Now, he might have been ready for the nut house. I don't know. But anyway, he'd cut down to 28 imaginary cigarettes a day from 30. That's doing pretty good. I tell you, brother, we need to cut it out. So as of now, if you got to, now what you ought to do is give them up this morning, and then the Lord can help you, and then you won't have to worry about the rest of your life. Amen. You say, "Brother Danny, it's easy for you to say you ain't never smoked." That's right, I ain't never smoked. Thank God I ain't. I've tried it a time or two. I thought there's got to be something in this, and I couldn't get nothing out of it, so I didn't try it no more. Amen. I believe it's just a habit. You just think you need them so bad, and your body gets addicted to it. And brother, you've just got to come off cold turkey, just like heroin or cocaine or liquor. Just get off! Get off! It'll save you a lot of money. Save you a lot of money and some time on your life. Then there's other things we need to get rid of. There's some paper being written on. Somebody wrote, that seat right back there where J.D. is at, either him or right in front of him, somebody took a pencil or a knife or something and scraped the word James in one of them seats. I don't know who James is, but James or his girlfriend might have a knot on their head if I catch them making scratches on them seats back there. You ain't got no more sense than to scratch up the seats in God's house on purpose. It ain't no wonder God can't bless you. Amen. Brother, I believe this place ought to be respected. It ain't the nicest place in town. But I tell you, it's not the time. Amen. Some of you, another thing, you're going to have to get the sin out of your own home life too. You are. God sees us when we're at home, folks. I tell you, it's been a long time. It's been a long time, I don't even remember how long it's been since I watched a television program. A regular, prime-time television program from start to finish, but it's been a long time. You say, "How come?" Well, I ain't got time to fool with it, and it messes me up every time I do anyway, so I just leave it off. But I catch little parts here and there when I can't help it. And it has shocked me. You cannot keep a clean mind and watch that dirty filth on television nowadays. You can't. The time is coming. You hear me? The time is going to come when a man can't have a Christian home and let that primetime television be played in his home. You mark it down. You mark it down. The time's coming when you won't be able to have a Christian atmosphere. It's already that about 90% of the time. If you can sit and watch people commit adultery and go to bed with each other and start taking their clothes off and fooling around, and you know they ain't even married, and drinking liquor and using cuss words, and there's something wrong in your heart. There's something wrong with you. Let your little old youngin sit there and that filth go inside their mind. God said, "Destroy the accursed thing from among you." Time will come if you do have a television, you'll have to provide your own entertainment for your children. The time has come when you just about have to provide your own kids sports entertainment. You know, you can't even let them go to the Girl Scouts or the Little League hardly no more because of the filth that goes on. The time's going to come when Christians are going to have to provide their own athletics, their own programs, everything to be right with God. And the reason some of you sitting there looking at me like a calf looking at a brand new gate,
is because you're so far away from God, and I'm the alarm clock trying to wake you up, and you don't like to be told what you're doing wrong, that there's something inside of you saying he's right, and God ain't going to bless you till you get the sin out of your life. Women, watch them old soupy, sobby, soapy, sopa, them old sob stories. I tell you, man, them things is spewed out of the bottomless pit. The devil wrote them soap operas. And I'll tell you something else. I wouldn't go to a church where a preacher wouldn't tell me what was right and what was wrong.
Amen.
I wouldn't go to one. You wasting your time. I know why they call them soap operas. Because all the soap in the world couldn't clean that filthy mess up. You women sit there and you get all wrapped up in that stuff, boy. Oh, is he going to kill her? Oh, he left. Oh, I bet she knows that. He's running around on her again. You just feed your lust off of that stuff. That's what you do. And you're silly. You're silly. You're silly little women. That's what the Bible says about you. The Bible says you're silly. Led away with divers lust. Creeps lead you away. They creep into your house. Lead you away with divers lust. That ain't a good Sunday morning message, I don't reckon, is it? Just what the Lord wants. There was a show on national TV not long ago called The Burning Bed. And it was old Farrah Spickett and somebody. And Farrah Spickett got beat up by her so-called husband so many times. And you say, oh boy, that needed to be showed. You know what happened right after that? Within 30 minutes after The Burning Bed went off television, a man went and set his wife on fire. Another woman shot her boyfriend, her lover, and almost killed him. And there was incidents of violence all over America that television program had sparked. You know what the moral of the story is? People are imitators. You listening? People are imitators. Whatever they see on the screen, they're going to try to do. You know, when you watch a football game, you know, you say, boy, there he is. He's the best, you know. And then as soon as the ball game's over, what do? You go out in the yard and say, I'm so-and-so, and call that guy's name, you know, and throw a pass and run a touchdown and this and that and the other and all these kind of things, you know. And then you go out, I'm Kareem, or I'm this and or I'm that, or I'm some kind of boxer. You imitate what you see on the screen. If you sit there and watch people run around on their wives, commit adultery, fix yourself up like whores, and go out on the town, queers and everything else, you're going to wind up wanting to be like them.
Amen.
Amen. Kids are perverts. It'll make you wives rebel against your husbands. Them dirty TV programs will automatically plant rebellion in your wife's heart against your husband. You'll say, we don't get along no more. If you'd clean that dirty filth out of your heart, you might do better than you're doing. Well, he ain't cute like that little boy on As the Stomach Turns. Well, I know it, but he ain't a queer neither. He's probably a man. Boy, some of y'all looking at me funny. Some of y'all looking at me like, I've got a good mind, just haul off and hit them real hard. Because you can't be the Christian. You say, I believe you can be saved. I didn't say you couldn't be saved. I said you can't be the Christian that God wants you to be and feed your mind off filth. You can't do it. You say, well, if I done that, there wouldn't be nothing to watch. Now, there's a thought. How'd you come up with that? You're doing pretty good if somebody's been brainwashed for a few years. I'll tell you something else. You better hear me. Is the music. Now, this filthy music, dirty, rotten, low-down rock and roll music. I want to tell you kids here something this morning. Rock and roll music is of the devil. It's the devil. It's the devil. Every bit of it. It's the devil. It's the devil. And if you don't agree with that, it's just showing your ignorance. You're showing your ignorance. You don't know no better. And it bothers you for somebody to tell you because you like it. I want to tell you something. Kiss jumps on stage puking blood.
and screaming, God of rock and roll will steal your virgin soul. Rolling Stone, house song, name of the song, Sympathy for the Devil, Satanic Majesty's Request, Dancing with Mr. D. You know who Mr. D is? The devil. And a preacher who refuses to tell young people about rock and roll don't deserve to be in a pulpit. Ozzy Osbourne said he took LSD every day for years and spends $1,000 a week on drugs. Dr. Hook, quote, in his song, some men need killer weed, some need cocaine, some need cactus juice to purify their brain. Some men need two women, some need alcohol. Everyone needs something, but Lord, I need them all. And the Bible says not to speak of the, it's a shame to speak of them things which are done of them in secret, or I'd tell you a bunch of other stuff this morning to turn your stomach. About Donna Summer and Queen. You know what Queen means? Freddie Mercury and the boy from the group called Queen. Queen is a slang term for queer. It's a homosexual. We are the champions. Yeah, you just bet you are. You know what sticks means? You know what sticks mean? In ancient Greek mythology, it's the river that run around hell. You ever heard of dead boys? Boy George. You know what AC/DC means? Well, if you can plug something in the wall one way and it's AC, and you can switch it and make it DC, you ought to be able to figure out what that means, don't you? I mean, you ain't ignorant, are you? That means you can go either way. You can like a boy, you can like a girl. They got a group now called Twisted Sisters. Somebody said, what's Twisted Sisters? Well, I don't know. We didn't know if it was a restaurant, a new dish, a country that they discovered in Africa, what it was. I'll tell you something. Those people are out to destroy your mind and take away your soul. And if you, every young person in this church, I've heard people say, well, I don't want to go to that church. Danny Castle's a preacher against rock and roll. Well, what kind of an ignorant preacher wouldn't preach against rock and roll? I mean, if he's worth it, take the money, take to blow his head off, surely he'd tell you the rock and rolls are the devil. Where in the world have we got to in this day and time? How far have we drifted away from God and the principles of this Word? Another thing, we need to be faithful to prayer and attendance. I tell you, we need to pray. We need to pray. Sometimes you ever seen a church get real going real good and the Lord start blessing souls being saved and then the church quit doing what they've done to get up there and then God cuts the blessings off and they go apostate. Brother, just because God starts blessing and people being saved, don't give us a right to quit what we was doing in order to get where God could bless us. Amen. If we want God to bless us more, we'll keep on doing what we was doing. Amen. And what we ought to be doing. You don't have the excuse some people go to other churches have for laying out. They haven't heard it like you've heard it. Some of you. You don't have the excuse not to visit. Some of y'all sure have been dragging your feet on visiting lately. I'm telling you, brother, you need to get in. You need to set you a time. That's why we have a visitation service. And nothing is more important than a regularly scheduled service, brother, that we had like a Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and Thursday night are our regular scheduled services where we try to do what God wants us to do, and people don't even take it serious enough to get involved and do what God wants us to do. The Lord said, Joshua, get the sin out of the camp, and I'll be with you. Joshua got up, and the Lord said, there's a man right there. And Joshua pointed him out and said, right there's a man that's got sin in his life. Wouldn't you know? I'm going to tell you something, and I'm going to close. Wouldn't you hate to know that it was because of you that was keeping the church from progressing and going on forward? And I'm talking to everybody in here. I done checked myself out, brother. You don't think I didn't roll myself over the coals last night? When I preach to you hard, it's because I've already preached to myself a whole lot harder.
And I'm harder on myself than I am any of y'all. You listening? I'd hate to know that it was because of my sin that the church couldn't prosper. If there's somebody in here that you've got sin in your heart, you've got hate, you've got jealousy, you've got bitterness, you run around, you're drinking liquor, sucking on beer cans, running around on your wife, cheating on your husband. Listen, I'd hate to know that it was my sin. According to this scripture, it is possible for a whole group to be held back by the sin of one person. That's scary, brother. That's scary. That means somebody in this church may have enough sin in your life. What God says, I ain't going to open the door. I'm not going to knock the walls down. I'm not going to even let you build a new church until that person gets the sin out of their life. I ain't going to do it. God said, neither will I be with you anymore till you destroy the accursed thing from among you. And O Achan, brother, he stole some stuff. He stole some silver and he stole some gold. And the Lord said, bring him up here, Joshua. And Joshua pointed him out. And they took him out here and beat his head in with rocks and set him and his family on fire. And God killed them. And then next thing you know, they went on and God blessed that bunch of people and they prospered. When you're dealing with churches and you're dealing in the work of God, you're not playing games. You're not playing games. God could kill you. If you're in here this morning, you say, oh, I'm going to live like I want to. You're a fool. The Bible says you're a fool. Fools make a mock at sin.
Oh, I ain't going to let them tell me how to live. I'm going to live my life. You're crazy. You're crazy. You're courting a tombstone, brother.
God said, get the sin out.
Get the sin out! Get the sin out!
And I'll be with you. And I believe, before we protest to anybody, before we march around the town, before we demand anything, we need to deal. Judgment must begin right here in this church. Get the sin out of our own lives first. Then we'll see clearly how to deal with our other battles and problems we'll be fighting. Let's bow our heads. I know this morning that the message has been just like taking a knife and sticking it in your stomach, some of you. And I know it's hurt you and it's made you mad. But that's out beside the question. The question is, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it?
What are you going to do about it? Huh?
What are you going to do about it? You've done hurt it. What will you do about it? There might be someone here to say, Brother Danny, I don't want sin in my life stopping the work of the Lord. And I'm coming to that altar this morning. And I'm getting clean. I'm getting clean. Why don't you come this morning? Just get on out of your seat and come. I don't want to hinder the work of God, preacher. I don't want to be the Achan. I don't want to. My feelings don't matter. What I want don't matter. I need to quit. I need to give up some sin in my life. We need to get sin out of our life first before we worry about those outside battles. And I tell you, one of these days we're going to give account to God Almighty the life we live.
To God in heaven! My soul! Not to me. You ain't going to give account to me. You're going to give account to God Almighty.
And I want to ask you a question this morning. How's things between you and God? How thankful we ought to be. Father in heaven, do what needs to be done. God bless this morning. Oh, God. Oh, Lord. Lord, I pray you'll forgive me. God, for taking for granted all your blessings that you poured out upon me. Lord, you've been so good to me. Lord, you've given me a fine place to live and a home and a family. God, I pray you'll forgive me for letting sin come in our lives. God, forgive me as the pastor of the church
for anything sinful or wicked or wrong. God, we don't want it, Lord. We don't want it. We don't want no sin in our lives. We want it out. We want it cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Wash us and make us whole and pure. Oh, God, I pray You'll forgive us for hurting people and maybe leading some astray. God, forgive us. Wash us in the blood. Then, Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters that are here this morning. Lord, how we thank You for them. How we thank You for people who allow You to touch their lives. I pray You'd bless them. I pray, dear God, that You'd speak to them. I pray, dear Lord, that You'd help them to give up that sin, whatever it is. Lord, there's probably somebody right here on this altar trying to quit the habit of smoking this morning. Lord, I pray You'd help them. Do a miracle, just like You did when they got saved. Do a miracle this morning. God, let them quit right now. Take the desire away and give them the guts to say no to it, Lord, and deliver them right now. If there's some other habits being confessed on this altar right now, God, deliver them right now. You're able. You're able to do it. I know You are. God, I've seen You do it for others. I've seen what You've done for Sister Hazel and a lot of these others, Lord. Just quit all at once. God, I pray You bless these. God, You know the need. I pray in Jesus' name. I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, for these that have been hindered, some by the cause of their jobs. I pray You'd make it possible that their job wouldn't hinder them, Lord, and they could be the Christian You want them to be. Those have been hindered by family problems or mental problems or physical problems or spiritual problems. Lord, help them, deliver them, set them free, live for You. God, I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, God, that You'd move on this congregation. God, let our church be what You want it to be. Oh, God, help our young people not to want to listen to that filthy, nasty, perverted, pornographic music. God, help them, Lord, to want to live for Thee and be clean and holy and pure. And help them, oh God, we pray. Use us, Lord, we ask. God, deliver those that need to be delivered right now. Save that one which is lost that may not understand this service. I pray You'd open their eyes. Let them see Jesus. Save them. Let them be born again. Those that are here this morning that are saved, but Lord, they're backslidden cold and their life's in a mess. God, let them get right with You this morning, Lord. We love You. We love You for all You've done for us. Thank You. Lord, help that one that's struggling right now on this altar. Whatever the need is, help them. Help them, oh Lord, help them. In Jesus' name. Now while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, Little Glenn's going to come, and just a moment we're going to sing, "Just As I Am," without one plea. "But that Thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come." We don't want to rush them. If they're praying about something special, we're going to give them that chance to finish it out. Let's all stand and sing the first verse. Just this first verse, let's all stand and sing.